الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فهذا هو الدرس الرابع في شرح العروة الوثقى. This is our fourth lesson in the explanation of the work العروة الوثقى, the strongest covenant and the strongest bond and handhold, in reference to the great statement, the statement La ilaha illallah. And we know that that statement is only complete whenever it is coupled with the statement Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have seen a number of benefits with regards to these issues in our previous classes. We continue reading. The author, he says, Hafidhahullahu ta'ala babul istighna'i باب الاستغناء بالذي أوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عما سواه باب الاستغناء بالذي أوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عما سواه. The chapter with regards to sufficing, having sufficiency with that which was revealed to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم over everything else. So the one who is sincere and the one who has certain faith that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah and that he received revelation from the creator of the heavens and the earth, that he received divine guidance, he will know that the best speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the best guidance is the guidance of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is very clear, likewise, a person he can understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ. Does not the creator know best? And if the creator who created the creation, who has shaped and formed each and every one of us, and is providing for our very life, does he not know best what is good for us and what is bad? What is in our best interest and what is beneficial for us and what is harmful? No doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows best that which is beneficial for us and that which is harmful. Many times we advance upon things or we hope to have things or we desire things that are in reality harmful for us. And the way to determine that which is good and that which is bad and that which is beneficial from that which is harmful and that which is truth from that which is falsehood is with the revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So not only does a believer have to believe and establish La ilaha illallah, and believe and establish Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise he has to suffice with that. Likewise he has to prefer that and suffice with that. To prefer that and suffice with that. And this requires for a person to strive against his soul. So we all know without a doubt that in the revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is all good. It's all good, it's all blessing, it's all benefit, it's all mercy and guidance and light. And we must suffice with that guidance. We must suffice with that direction. We must suffice with that light that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not turn to other than that seeking guidance and seeking direction. And not turn to other than that seeking guidance and seeking direction. And there's a test with regards to this. The people are tried with regards to this. It has preceded that the greatest blessing is the blessing of al-Islam. But a person, he must strive to learn the correct and proper Islam and to perfect and purify his deen and to hold fast and cherish that and establish it in his life inwardly and outwardly without any additions or any subtractions, seeking the aid and the help of Allah to establish the deen in the proper manner and likewise seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one's shortcomings and one's faults, for one's shortcomings and one's faults. So this is a very, very important chapter. باب الاستغناء بالذي أوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عما سواه. The chapter about the obligation of sufficing, being content with that which was revealed to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this can be understood likewise in the light of the narration of Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. Radiallahu anhu, he mentioned in Sahih Muslim, it's mentioned in Sahih Muslim that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ذاق حلاوة الإيمان. ذاق حلاوة الإيمان. He will taste the sweetness of faith. من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا. That the one who is pleased, يعني he's satisfied and he's content. He's pleased. يعني رضا بالشيء يعني القناعة والاكتفاء به. يعني القناعة والاكتفاء به. Meaning he's satisfied. It's sufficient for him. He's pleased. Allah is my Lord. I do not worship anyone besides him. I do not rely or trust or hope or fear anyone besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. I'm sufficient with Allah as my Lord. I worship him alone. I devote myself in humbleness and submission and servitude and obedience to him alone. I'm pleased. I'm happy. It's sufficient for me with Islam as a way of life. The rulings and the legislation, the halal and the haram, the obligations and the prohibitions, the restrictions and limits found in our deen, I'm pleased with that and I'm suffice with that. I do not need any other way to live my life. Islam is sufficient for me. I'm pleased with that. This is the meaning. The one who lives in this manner, he will taste the sweetness of faith, and not until then. And with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet, meaning as a prophet and role model, I suffice with his guidance, with his methodology, with his way, with that which was revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this manner, a person, he will taste the sweetness of faith. Ariman, barakallahu fikum, lahu halawa. Yudhaqu bilqalb, kama tudhaqu ladhatu ta'ami billisan. That al-iman, the sincere faith, it has a sweetness. It has a beautiful taste that is tasted with the heart the same way the sweetness of food. كَمَا تُذَّكُوا حَلَاوَةُ الطَّعَامِ بِاللِّسَانِ. Just as the sweetness and the delight of the food is tasted with the tongue. So whenever we taste the sweet food and it's delicious, we find that beautiful and delicious taste with our tongue. In the same manner, the heart has the ability to taste the sweetness of faith. But if a person becomes sick, many times the sweet food becomes bitter for him. He will taste the sweetest of food and it will seem bitter for him. Even many times he will reject that and find it to be disgusting. And it's the most delicious and the best of all food. But because of an ailment in his body, he will not be able to taste the sweetness, whether he will find it bitter or he will reject it in entirety. Likewise, the heart, if it becomes sick, it will not be able to taste the sweetness of faith. It will reject that and not find the beauty of the religion and the sweetness of al-Iman. So a believer has to strive to keep the heart clean and pure. And this is by purifying the Tawheed and purifying the obedience for Allah Azza wa Jal. It has preceded in the previous class that the heart can become hard and the heart can become tainted and the heart can become corrupted, and this is by way of sins. So the sins can cover the heart. بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Rather, it's ran, yani a covering, a hard covering, a harsh covering on the heart because of that which they used to earn, meaning their evil deeds, their actions of disobedience. So from that is to go beyond that which is legislated and to not suffice with the limits that are set in the deen of al-Islam. And this is in many ways, yani by preferring to follow one's desires, and also by preferring customs and cultures, by not sufficing with the halal and transgressing to the haram, and in not sufficing with the halal means of earning a living, rather having to have more and going beyond the limits and taking that which is impermissible. And taking that which is impermissible should suffice with that which is lawful. If he's pleased with Allah as the Lord, he will suffice with the limits that Allah has set and suffice with the decrees that Allah has decreed universally and likewise legislatively. So a person, he must suffice in this manner and also suffice with the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not look for other guidance, not look for other role models that are contrary, not look for other ways to follow and other paths to follow and other ways to worship Allah that are contrary to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the topic at hand. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, the statement of Allah the Most High, فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. The author, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, and this is an order for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal is ordering his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this noble verse to hold fast to that which was revealed to him. فَاسْتَمْسِكْ, أيها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بالذي أوحي إليك. Hold fast, you, O Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, to that which was revealed to you. إنك على صراط مستقيم. Indeed, you, O Prophet, صلى الله عليه وسلم, are upon a straight path. Upon a straight path. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's been ordered to hold fast to that which was revealed to him. And we're likewise ordered to hold fast to that which was revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-kitabu wa sunnah, al-wahyan. Al-kitabu wa sunnah, the two revelations. The book of Allah azza wa jal is revelation revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise, The detailed clarification of that, which has come in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, is revelation. وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And he does not speak from his desires sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, it is only a revelation that is revealed. So we are ordered, like our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to hold fast to the revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning to hold fast to the book and to the sunnah. And this means to suffice with that. This verse here, this noble verse here, is in Surah Az-Zukhruf. And before this verse, a few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a threat and a warning for those who turn away from the guidance and those who prefer other types of guidance, and they turn a blind eye and a blind heart, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, to the guidance of the Quran. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in several verses before this verse, in the same context, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ, يعني مَنْ يُعْرِضْ, وَيَتَعَامَ وَيَتَغَافَلْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ, whoever turns a blind eye, and he turns a blind eye, no care or no concern for the remembrance of Ar-Rahman. And the foundation of that is the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. The greatest remembrance of Ar-Rahman, the greatest remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, is in his book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his speech and his words. And likewise, that which clarifies that from the revelation and from the legislation in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning whoever turns away from the guidance that Allah has revealed to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ, the recompense for turning a blind eye and not having care or concern for the guidance that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا, يعني نُهَيِّئْ لَهُ وَنَجْعَلُ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ, يعني ملازم مصاحب, يكون معه يحثه على الشر ويضله ويضله ويحثه على الشر والعياذ بالله, he will lead him astray. The recompense for that is that Allah will appoint for him a devil to accompany him that would entice him and lure him to misguidance and to evil, and he would decorate falsehood for him. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ, this is the recompense for the one who turns away from the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similar to what has preceded in the previous class, the threat, فَلْيَحْذَرْ أَلَّذِينَ يُخَارِفُونَ أَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So one, he must be cautious that he will turn away from the remembrance of Allah, and from that is to not suffice with the Quran and the Sunnah, and to not suffice with the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to seek guidance in other manners, in other ways, in other avenues, and to innovate innovations in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, وَقَوْلِهِ وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. And the statement of Allah the Most High, and we have revealed to you, again, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ, يعني أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ صلى الله عليه وسلم, الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we have revealed to you, O Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, a book as a clarification for all things. وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, and a means of guidance and mercy and glad tidings for the Muslims. The Muslims, those who believe in that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they submit and surrender in obedience to Allah azza wa jal. So the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tibyanan li kulli shay', a clarification for all things. So that which is a clarification for all things should suffice. It suffices us, and we do not need to go beyond that. We do not need to look for guidance in the Bible, in the Torah, or in the Injil. We do not need to look for guidance or solutions for our problems with the psychiatrists of the disbelievers and the likes like this. Our problems are solved in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, in having sincere faith and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, and believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sunnah, his laws and legal way, and striving to apply that. In this manner, the heart becomes pure. In this manner, the problems, they go away. In this manner, a person is able to face the challenges of life, the challenges and the waves and the ups and downs of life, because he will have knowledge. He will be able to deal with the goodness in life in a manner pleasing to Allah, and likewise the adversities and hardships in life as well. He'll be able to deal with them because he has knowledge and light and a manner pleasing to Allah. So one must suffice with that which is sufficient. And the Qur'an and the Sunnah is sufficient. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, as a means of guidance for all things. We have revealed to you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book as a clarification for all things, and as guidance and a mercy and a glad tidings for the Muslims. And glad tidings for the Muslims. After this, the author, he says, وَنَا أَبِي الدَّرْدَى الْأَنْصَارِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَيْمُ اللَّهِ لَقَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا وَنَهَارُهَا السَّوَاءِ رواه ابن ماجه وَإِسْنَادُهُ حَسَنٌ. The author, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهِ, he mentioned the narration of أَبِي الدَّرْدَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَيْمُ اللَّهِ, yani, wallahi, I swear by Allah, لَقَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَاءِ, I have left you upon that which is clear. عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَاءِ, yani, الْمَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ, I have left you upon the clear white path, yani, the path that is very clear. There's no ambiguity in it whatsoever. There's nothing that's unclear, or there's nothing that is difficult to understand. لَيْلُهَا وَنَهَارُهَا السَّوَاءِ, it's night and its day is equal. It's night and its day is equal, meaning it's clear. Just as clear in the nighttime as it is in the daytime. It's so clear that it can be seen and understood and realized properly in the nighttime just as it could in the daytime. Meaning that it's something that has no ambiguity in it whatsoever. It's not unclear. It's not hard to realize and to understand. So therefore, it's sufficient to suffice with this. It's enough to suffice with that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it's clear. It's clear and it's facilitated and it's easy and it's all mercy and all goodness. The author said, he says, it's narrated by Ibn Majah and the chain is good, meaning that this narration is authentic on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, he mentions another narration and he says, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Asi radiyallahu anhuma, we call it al-As aylan, رضي الله عنهما أنه قال كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر فنزلنا منزلا فمنا من يصلح خباءه ومنا من ينتظر ومنا من هو في جشره إذ نادى منادي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة جامعة فاجتمعنا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr Ibn As, radiyallahu anhuma, that one time they were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey, and they had stopped to take a rest. And from them there are those who are setting up the tent, and others they are practicing archery, and others they are tending to the animals, when suddenly a caller, the caller of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calls out, As-salata jami'ah. As-salata jami'ah, and if the prayer is being established, and not one of the obligatory prayers, rather another prayer is being established. فَاجْتَمَعْنَا إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, so we all gathered around the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ, and he said, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ نَبِيٌّ قَبْلِي إِلَّا كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَدُلَّ أُمَّتَهُ عَلَى خَيْرِ مَا يَعْلَمُهُ لَهُمْ. He said, indeed, there was no prophet before me, except it was a right upon him that he would lead his ummah and his followers to the good that he knows for them. وَيُنذِرَهُمْ شَرَّ مَا يَعْلَمُهُ لَهُمْ, رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٍ, and likewise to warn them of the evil that he knows for them. It's narrated by Muslim. So all of the prophets before, it was a right upon them, from the first of them to the last of them, that they must clarify the good that is revealed to them, that they know from their Lord for their ummah, and to guide them and direct them and give them sincere advice. And likewise, to forbid them and warn them, and clarify for them the avenues of falsehood, likewise that they know. So this was the case and the function of all of the prophets and messengers. A right upon them, alayhimu salatu wassalam, and they established that. And if that's the case with regards to the previous prophets and messengers, then no doubt the seal and the best of all prophets and messengers, he established that in the best manner. And this is the evidence here, or the aspect of evidence, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he conveyed the message entirely. And he clarified everything in great detail. And he left us on a clear path. All we have to do is learn it and follow it and hold fast to it and love it and prefer it and suffice with it. Love it and prefer it and suffice with it. Deficiency comes into one's religion from any aspect. And from that is this aspect here of not sufficing with the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, falling into deviation, going down those different subul that we had taken in the previous class, happens in this manner. A person, he will go away from the straight path and he will fall into innovation. We will fall into major sin. We will fall into deviation. He will fall into misguidance. All from not sufficing. All from not sufficing with that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Quran is a clarification for all things. And likewise, the Sunnah as well is clear and clarified in great detail. And rather, it's the means of clarifying that which is mentioned in general in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So with these two great clarifications, means of guidance and mercy and light, a believer, he must suffice. A believer, he must suffice. And it has preceded as well the means to truly hold fast to this and to know what is intended from the revelation of the Quran and the Sunnah is to understand the understanding of the best of this ummah. Beginning with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and likewise their students, the Tabi'un and the Atba' Tabi'in, those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about them, khayrun nas qarni, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum. The best of mankind is my generation, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. They're the ones who are upon al-muhajja al-bayda. They're the ones who are upon the clear path. They're the ones who establish the religion until Allah is pleased with them. So their way is pleasing. And the Islam that they were upon is the Islam that Allah, he mentioned, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. And I'm pleased for you with Islam as a religion and way of life. As a religion and way of life. So to emphasize this issue of the Sunnah, likewise is clarification. This verse here, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. From the tibyan of the Qur'an, from the clarification of the Qur'an, is the obligation of obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look into the Book of Allah, there's more than 30 verses. More than 30 verses clarifying the obligation of obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even verses clarifying that one will not obey Allah until he obeys the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is from the clarification of the Quran. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned that as-sunnah kulluha tadkhulu fi ayatin wahida min al-Quran. As-sunnah kulluha tadkhul fi ayatin wahida. Yani as-sunnah, all of the authentic sunnah. Yani all of the narrations found in Bukhari and Muslim, and Abu Dawood, and al-Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah, and the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and the Muwatta of Imam Malik, all these narrations found in the books of Hadith, all of this Sunnah in entirety is clarified and included in one verse in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهِيَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and whatever the messenger he gives you, then you must take it. And whatever he forbids you, then you must leave it.
Qala al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, nadartu fil mushafi, fawajatu ta'at al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi thalathatin wa thalathina mawdi'a. Al-Imam Ahmad, he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala, that I looked into the mushaf, and he pondering and reflecting, and I found the obedience of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the Book of Allah in 33 places. and 33 places. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned around 30, even close to 40 different places where Allah has mentioned the obligation of obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So likewise, it's been narrated from Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he said one time whenever he was in Mecca. And this is indicating here for us a great understanding, which is very similar to the understanding of his student that has preceded. We know that from the greatest students of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i is Al-Imam Ahmed. And we've seen what Imam Ahmed, he said about usul al-sunnah indana. At-tamassuku bima kana alayhi. أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والاقتداء بهم وترك البدع وكل بدعة ضلالة. This is what has preceded in our previous class. This is because he learned from the great teachers like Imam Shafi. And Imam Shafi is the student of his greatest teacher, Imam Malik ibn Anas, رحمه الله تعالى ورضي الله عنهم جميعا. Now, so Imam Shafi, it's mentioned that he said one time whenever he was in Mecca, he says, رحمه الله سألوني عما شئتم أخبركم عنه بكتاب الله. He said, ask me whatever you like. Ask me whatever you like. I'm going to inform you of the ruling of that from the book of Allah. From the book of Allah. And he's telling his students and those around him, any inquiries or questions you have or affairs or issues you need clarified, ask me right now and I will inform you with the evidence from the book of Allah. This is based upon the fact that the Quran is tibyan li kulli shay. Tibyan li kulli shay. So it was said to him, فَقِيلَ لَهُ مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْمُحْرِمِ مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْمُحْرِمِ يَقْتُلُ الزَّنْبُورِ مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْمُحْرِمِ يَقْتُلُ الزَّنْبُورِ. It was said to him, now, okay, what do you say about a person in the state of Ihram and he kills a wasp? What do you say about a person in the state of Al-Ihram and he kills a wasp? You know, whenever you're in the state of Al-Ihram, when you're making Al-Hajj or Al-Umrah, it's not allowed to hunt. It's not allowed to hunt. A Sayyid is not permissible whenever you're in the state of Al-Ihram. It's not allowed to hunt the game. And likewise, if you're in the Haram of Mecca, you're not allowed to harm the animals as well. So somebody said, if we can ask you anything, and you'll respond to us with the Quran, then what do you say about the person who's in the state of Ihram and he kills a wasp? And he kills a wasp. And he saying that, and if you can answer from the Quran, then answer this question from the Quran. Understand the point? You know ayat about the Zambur? No? Imam Shafi, he knows how to answer, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, فَقَالَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. He said, I say, in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah, the Most High, he says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. Allah the Most High, he says, whatever the messenger he gives you, you must take it, and whatever he forbids you, then you must leave it. وَقَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سُفْيَانُ بْنُ عُيَيْنَةٍ عَبْدِ الْمَالِكِ بْنِ عُمَيْرَ عَنْ رِبْعٍ بْنِ خِرَاشٍ عَنْ حُذَيْفَةَ بْنِ الْيَمَانِ رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي أبي بكر وعمر. He said, after mentioning the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's been narrated to me by Sufyan ibn Uyayna, who narrated to him Abdul Malik ibn Umayr, who narrated to him Rib'i ibn Khirash, that Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiyallahu anhu said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اِكْتَدُوا بِالَّذَيْنِ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. You must follow the footsteps of those two after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. And then he said, Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah, وَحَدَّثَنَا Sufyan. And Mis'ar ibn Kidam, and Qais ibn Muslim, and Tariq ibn Shihab, and Umar ibn Khattab, annahu amara biqatli al-muhrim al-zambur. And then he mentioned another chain of narration with Sufyan again, ibn Uyayna, to Mis'ar ibn Kidam, to Qais ibn Muslim, to Tariq ibn Shihab, that Umar ibn Khattabi radiallahu anhu, he ordered the one in the state of Ihram to kill the wasp. To kill the wasp. You understand this? So this is the understanding of Imam al-Shafi. Imam al-Shafi, I'm going to summarize for you to make it easy. And because the chain is here and the likes like this. But even the chain, mentioning the chain here in this particular text, is important to understand the understanding of this Imam. And that, yani they restrict themselves to this matter, to that which was narrated to us from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that includes the Quran and the Sunnah. The revelation was revealed to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was narrated to us from the noble companions. There, like I said in our previous class, shuhuduna. There are witnesses.
They're our witnesses. They're the ones who clarified and mentioned all of this, the religion, and carried that on. Allah chose them for this affair. So Imam Shafi, he says, Rahimahullah, ask me any question you like. I'll answer you from the Quran. I have an answer. I can find the answer for any issue in your life from the Quran. So then the man, he says, okay, then what do you do if you're a muhram and he kills a wasp? Huh? What about the, if you can answer me from the Quran, then what about the muhram, the one who's in a state of ihram and he kills a wasp? He says, yes, I know the answer. This also is indication of his great any knowledge, vast knowledge of that which was narrated from the companions, which also from the benefits of our previous class was shi'ar ahl sunnah wal jama'ah. Shi'ar ahl sunnah wal the slogan and the motto and what the people of the sunnah and the jama'ah are known by are following the narrations of the companions. Here's an example of that from al-Imam al-Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, yes, I can answer you. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, Allah azza wa jalla. He says, whatever the messenger gives you, you must take it. Whenever he forbids you, you must leave it. وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. So he mentioning this to mention the chain, the narration that he mentions next. And the Prophet Muhammad, it's narrated from Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِقْتَدُوا بِالَّذَيْنِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَبِي بَكْرُ وَمَرْ. And that the Prophet Muhammad, he ordered, اِقْتَدُوا. This is a benefit from learning النحو. We discussed this morning, huh? This is a fi'l amr. Huh? Fi'lu amrin. Fi'lu amrin. اِقْتَدُوا بِالَّذَيْنِ مِنْ بَعْدِ. You must follow the footsteps of those two after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. So he understands from here that Allah ordered us to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to accept and to take what he has ordered us with, and to refrain and to leave off what he has forbidden us. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has ordered us to follow the footsteps and hold fast to the way of Abu Bakr and Umar. And then he mentioned with this chain again, now another narration to Umar radiallahu anhu, who he himself, he ordered that the wasp should be killed by the one who was in the state of ihram. You understand? So this is a clear clarification of the proper understanding of the religion. The understanding that Imam Shafi had was in this manner, that you follow the deen according to the Quran and the Sunnah, and the understanding of Abu Bakr and Umar. It's very clear. Alhamdulillah. Anything that's contrary to that is contrary. How could it be considered deen? And they didn't know about it. And the Imams, this is what they mentioned. We've seen the statement of Imam Ahmad in the previous class, and I just mentioned it. And likewise, the statement of Imam Malik has come a number of times. مَعْلَمْ يُكُنْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دِينًا فَلَا يَكُنْ يَوْمَ دِينًا. Whatever was not deen on that day, whenever the religion was completed, it will never be deen today. This is the true understanding of the four Imams. Unfortunately, in the later generations, people ascribed to the four Imams opposed them in the foundations of the religion. They followed them in fiqh, and then they followed turuq ukhra in aqidah, and turuq ukhra in ibadah. Some of them, they have any intisabat kathira. And he says that he's Maliki in fiqh, and he's Maturidi fi aqidah, and he's this and that in tariqah. And subhanallah. And his description is not even, and he's ascribing to this one, to that one, to that one. If he's really going to follow Imam Malik, he should follow him first and foremost, not only in the actions, but in the creed that he had, in the belief that he had. And this is the most important aspect of the deen, the foundation of the religion, the creed and the belief. And this is what is going to determine whether the deeds are accepted or rejected, or whether they're heavy or light, is the creed first and foremost. Is the creed first and foremost. In Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى سُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ يَنِي مَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْعَقِيدَةِ وَالتَّوْحِيدِ وَالْإِمَانِ الصَّادِقِ وَعَمَالِكُمْ. That Allah, He does not look to your shapes and your forms, and He doesn't look to your wealth and are you rich, or are you wealthy, or are you poor, but He looks into your hearts and looks into your actions. So this is the place of examination, and this is the place of accountability. What's in the hearts and how we act, and how we act and how we conduct ourselves, how we act and how we live and how we conduct ourselves. So this is based upon the creed. We have to be concerned with the creed. The greatest thing to suffice with from that which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the creed of at-tawheed. It's the creed of at-tawheed and the proper belief. And from there, it will be easy for him and facilitated for him to suffice with the legislative law and rulings that have come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the way of the Salaf, the way of the pious predecessors, the way of those whom had the deen that is maradhi, the pleasing religion. And a person, he will strive to be like them and follow the narrations diligently as much as he can. Even it's been narrated from Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. He died in the year 161. His name has come up a number of times from the greatest of the scholars of hadith. He said, "In istata'ta alla tuhukka ra'saka illa bi athar faf'al." He said, "If you're able to not even scratch your head except with a narration, then do it. Then do it." And even Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, he has studied in such great detail. He has learned narrations related to a person in ihram and a zambur. A person in ihram and the zambur. And he knows that even to this extent, he knows a narration about this, narrated from the salaf. So if you're able likewise to not do anything in life except by way of a narration, then you should do that. This doesn't mean that you can't scratch your head. That's not what he's trying to make mubalagha. And to yuhuthuka shadidan. تتمسك بما أوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That you hold fast to that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even if you find any from the smallest or the littlest of things that are narrated and reported to us correctly and sound on our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, a believer, he will love that and he will hold fast to that. فاستمسك بالذي أوحي إليك إنك على صراط مستقيم. In this manner, a person, he will have goodness in his life by holding fast to that way. This narration here has been understood as well by the companions in the same light. It's been collected by Imam Bukhari from the Hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that he says one time himself, Ibn Mas'ud, he says radiallahu anhu, لعن الله الواشمات والمستوشمات والمتنامصات والمتفلجات للحسن المغيرات. May the curse of Allah be upon those women who give tattoos and take tattoos and who pluck their eyebrows and the hair on their face and they split their teeth trying to make themselves beautiful. Those who change the creation of Allah. فَقَالَتَ لَهُمْ رَأَةٌ فِي ذَلِكَ. So a woman brought him up on this. And she's asking him, you know, why are you cursing these women like this? These women who do this, why are you cursing them? Why are you cursing them? فَقَالَ مَا لِي لَا أَلْعَنُ مَنْ لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa fi kitabillah. He said, what's wrong with me? Why would I not curse the one whom the Messenger of Allah has cursed? And it's in the book of Allah. So she says, لَقَدْ قَرَأْتْ مَا بَيْنَ اللَّوْحَيْنِ فَمَا وَجَدْتُ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ. She said, I read the whole Mus'haf from the beginning to the end. I don't find what you're talking about. And I don't find in the Quran anywhere, in any of its chapters or any of its verses, the mention of the curse of the woman who does the washam, or the woman who does the numps, or the woman who does the splitting the teeth. I don't find this in the book of Allah, what you're talking about. So then he says, radiallahu anhu, قَالَ لَإِنْ قَرَأْتِهِ لَقَدْ وَجَدْتِهِ. He said, radiallahu anhu, if you read it, like you say, then you would have found it. أَمَا قَرَأْتِي وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Have you not read the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla? And whatever the Messenger gives you, you take it. And whatever he forbids you, then you must leave it. قَالَتْ بَلَى. She said, of course. قَالَ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ نَهَا عَنْهُ. فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ نَهَا عَنْهُ. Then indeed, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has forbade that. And likewise, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has cursed those women who do the likes of this. So this noble verse here includes the entire sunnah. The entire sunnah is included here. Not to mention the many other verses clarifying the obligation of following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and taking him as a role model, and many of them have proceeded in our previous class. To emphasize this, again, another narration, which is collected by Bukhari, this time from the hadith of Abi Al-Juwayriya, that he says, Sa'altu ibn Abbas. And he's from the Tabi'een, Abu al-Juwayriya, from the Tabi'een, rahimahullah. قَالَ سَأَلْتُ إِبْنَ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا عَنِ الْبَادِقِ. عَنِ الْبَادِقِ. He said, I asked Ibn Abbas رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا عَنِ الْبَادِقِ. I asked him about al-Badiq. Al-Badiq is a type of drink that was not known in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a new type of drink, and it's an intoxicant. But it was not known in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So listen to the answer of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He says, فَقَالَ سَبَقَ مُحَمَّدٌ الْبَادِقِ. سَبَقَ مُحَمَّدٌ الْبَادِقِ. Muhammad has preceded the Badiq, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سَبَقَ مُحَمَّدٌ الْبَادِقِ. فَقَالَ فَمَا أَسْكَرَ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ. فَمَا أَسْكَرَ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ. قَالَ الشَّرَابُ الْحَلَالُ الطَّيِّبُ. الشَّرَابُ الْحَلَالُ الطَّيِّبُ.
قال ليس بعد الحلال الطيب إلا الحرام الخبيث. So he said that Muhammad has preceded the bad, and he already preceded all of this with the clarification that was revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَدْ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْهِ رَبُّهُ الْقُرْآنَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So even the affairs that have not come yet, that are going to come, the new issues and the likes like this, there are rulings that are established in the religion that encompass this. There are evidences in the religion that encompass this. Is what he's trying to say. سَبَقَ مُحَمَدُ الْبَادِقِ. This drink that you have come up with now, that was not even present in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad has preceded that and clarified the rulings that are related to that. The drink that is lawful is the drink that is wholesome and good, and there's nothing after that which is wholesome and good except for that which is filthy and khabith. مَا أَسْكَرَ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ. Whatever intoxicates the mind is haram. Whatever intoxicates the mind is haram. And he's referring to a number of narrations that have come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From that is in Bukhari Muslim, kullu muskirin haram. Wal khamr ma khamara al-aqid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullu muskir haram. Every intoxicant is haram, regardless if it's liquid or if it's solid, whatever it is. If it's an intoxicant, it's haram. Wal khamr ma khamara al-aqid. And the khamr, which is translated as wine or alcohol, is more. The understanding with regards to the ruling is not just simple alcohol, rather the khamr ma khamara al-aql, that which intoxicates the mind. So anything that intoxicates the mind has the same ruling as the khamr. So therefore the Quran and Sunnah has come with the clarification of all things, either encompassed directly by texts and evidences that mention the issue specifically, or by principles and qawaid in the religion that encompass all aspects of life. That encompass all aspects of life. We understand that? So for example here, if somebody is to talk about khamr, any wine and alcohol, the evidence is clear. But if somebody came with a new type of intoxicant, like badik, for example, or any other type of, like they smoke, maybe they smoke it, or they snort it, or they chew on it, or they swallow it, or they shoot it, right, in their veins. Whatever it may be, if it's an intoxicant, if it's a narcotic, if it intoxicates the mind, it's haram and not allowed. It's khabith and it's not tayyib. It's khabith and it's not tayyib, because there's nothing after the tayyib except for the khabith. And the khabith is the muskir, it's filthy, it's haram, it's not allowed. That which is intoxicating the mind. From the greatest blessings and favors of Allah Azza wa Jal is to have a sound mind. It's to have a sound mind. So to take some type of intoxicant or narcotic that removes that sound mind and causes a person to become insane, to intoxicate his mind, this is from the greatest act of ingratitude and being ungrateful for the great blessing of the mind. The point from this is to clarify that the Qur'an and Sunnah is the clarification of all things. تَبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَقَدْ تَرَحْتُكُمْ أَنَا الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَالنَّهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيبُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. I left you upon a clear white path. The night is like the day. It's very, very clear. Nobody goes astray from it except he will be destroyed. Except when he'll be misguided. Except when he'll be misled by those devils on that path. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. And if a person, he's enticed by the devil will play games with him and laugh at him and misuse him and abuse him. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. This is the way of the devil. And this is the way of the devil. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينَ. فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينَ. So a believer has to realize the likes of this and remember the likes of this and prefer the religion, prefer the deen. Follow the religion, follow the deen, and suffice with that in preference to the guidance that which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, the author, he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ وَأَنَا بِذَرِّ الْغِفَارِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالْ تَرَكَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَمَا طَائِرٌ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا مِنْهُ عِلْمٌ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا مِنْهُ عِلْمٌ رواه ابن حبان وإسناده صحيح. And it has been narrated by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu that he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has left us, and there is not a bird in the sky flying with his two wings, except we have knowledge of that. Except we have knowledge of that. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left us with complete guidance. He left us with complete guidance. And not even a bird flying in the sky, except we know that there's a ruling with regards to that. Some of the birds are lawful and some of them are unlawful. Some of them you can eat and they're considered tayyib, and others you cannot eat and they're considered khabith, yani the lahm. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam harrama kulla di makhlabin min al-tayr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade every bird
that has claws, that hunts with its claws. So there's knowledge even of the birds, even of the birds, in every detail in life. Every detail in life, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought clear guidance. Clear guidance. Hatta al-khara. Even a Jew, he came to Salman, a Pharisee, one time, radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنَّ نَبِيَكُمْ قَدْ أَخْبَرَكُمْ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاقِ. He's trying to laugh at them. Oh, your prophet, he told you about everything, even the bathroom. He said, that's right, ajal. That's right, he told us when we go to the bathroom that we have to use no less than 3 stones, and that we use our left hand, we don't use our right hand. And he gave us guidance in every affair. If you look into the chapter of Tahara, subhanAllah, you'll find so much guidance, so many chapters, so many narrations, so much clarification on how to keep your body clean. How do you keep your body clean? It's an amazing affair. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala istanbata fa'ida yani latifa min bab al-tahara. He said, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us all of these issues, is muhal an yu'allimana nabiyuna kulla shay hatta al-qira'a wala yu'allimana tawhid. It's impossible that the Prophet Muhammad SAW, he would teach us all of this affair about how to cleanse your body and use the bathroom and the likes like this, akramakum Allah, and he would not teach us the Tawheed. Rather, the Tawheed is clarified by the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even greater. And the Tahara of the heart and the creed takes precedence over the Tahara of the body and the clothing. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's teaching the creed for 10 years, even before the affairs of Tahara and Salah. Even before the affairs of Tahara and Salah. So this, again, is a great benefit. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, from the best of the companions, he's telling us, تَرَكَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا طَائِرٌ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحِي إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا مِنْهُ عِلْمٌ. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he left us with knowledge. He left us with guidance. He left us with light. He left us with a law that's straight, upright, and beneficial. Great mercy and goodness. Great mercy and goodness. And not even a bird flying in the sky said we have knowledge about it. If it's halal, if it's haram, if it's good, if it's bad. And the likes like this, There's nothing that's left out. Again, it's either clarified with the clear text in the Quran or in the Sunnah, or understood and encompassed in the Qawaid and the Usul that are established in the book and the Sunnah. There's principles that are established in the book and the Sunnah that will include all aspects for Sharia al-Islamiyya, Saliha Musliha li kulli zamani wa makan. Alhamdulillah. The legislation about Islam, the pure one, the correct one, that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is upright and good and correct, and a means for rectifying the society, the human being and the society, in all times and all places. In all times and all places. It just requires for us to believe and to follow and to prefer and to suffice. To believe and to follow and to prefer and to suffice. And from the fundamental means of this is to learn. Is to learn and to be diligent in learning. The author says, and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, annahu qal, nuhina an at-takalluf, rawahu al-Bukhari. It's narrated by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu that he said, we were forbidden to make takalluf. Takalluf, yani ta'annud, wa yani ta'annud, and tanaqwa, to go to extremes, to try too hard, to go into minute details and the likes like this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, halaka al-mutanatti'un, halaka al-mutanatti'un, halaka. Those people who go to extremes and minute details and the likes like this, and they make the religion hard when it's not hard. They make the religion hard when it's not hard by asking questions about issues that could happen or might happen that really have no concern for a person and the likes like this. So we're prohibited from that. We're prohibited from that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الدِّينَ يُسْنُ لَا يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. That this deen is easy, it's facilitated. That this deen is easy, it's facilitated. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bu'ithu bil hanifiyya as-samha, as-samha." The religion that's pure monotheism and is facilitated and easy. "Walan yushadda ad-deena ahadun illa ghalaba." And no one will try to go into minute details, be meticulous with the rulings about Islam, except it will overcome him. He will be overcome by waswasa. He will be overcome, and he will not be able to continue. We'll not be able to continue. فَنُهِنَا أَنَ التَّكَلُّفِ نُهِنَا أَنَ التَّكَلُّفِ. We have been prohibited from a takalluf. The author, it says, and it's narrated by al-Bukhari. After this, وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْوَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ سَمِيَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولْ مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَافْعَلُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that he heard the Messenger of Allah
sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that whatever I have forbidden you, that you must leave it and avoid it. And whatever I have ordered you, then you must do it as much as you can. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَى أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ وَاللَّفْظُ لِمُسْلِمٍ. Because indeed, the people before you were only destroyed and ruined and misguidance because of asking an abundance of questions. Any questions, again, that are meticulous and that have no real benefit and don't concern them. And by differing with their prophets, by not obeying their prophets. So this is a means of destruction. This is a means of destruction. So he says, muttafaqun alayhi, and that narration is by, this wording is by Al-Imam Muslim. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's ordering in this narration, similar to what Allah had ordered in that verse we had taken in Surah Al-Hashr. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. الاجتناب, الاجتناب هو يعني هو الترك والزيادة, الترك والمباعدة, الترك والمباعدة, الاجتناب, تجتنب شيئا أن تتركه وتبتعد عنه. So it's more than just leaving. The Prophet didn't order us to leave. Whatever I have forbidden you from, leave it. And leave the means that lead to it. Avoid it and stay away from it. Avoid it and stay away from it. So it's not sufficient just to leave the haram or that which is forbidden or that which is not permissible. Rather, we must leave it and avoid it by avoiding the avenues that lead to it. That avoid the avenues that lead to it. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. He didn't say لَا تَزْنُوا. Subhana. Greater than that. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Don't even come close to it. And before you even do it, don't even come close to it. And don't do anything that will lead to it. Like looking or talking or hanging out. Or texting and the likes like this, because all of this, يُقَرِّبُكَ مِنْهُ وَلِيَاتُ بِاللَّهِ. So don't even do that. Don't even do that, because this is a foul way. This is a foul way. So likewise, all of the prohibitions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have to shut the avenues and close the doors. Shut the avenues and close the doors and not come close to them. Because the one who comes close to something, he can easily be drawn into it. He can easily be drawn into it. He can easily be drawn into it. So to leave that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbidden and to avoid it and stay away from it. This is the order here. This is an absolute sense. This is an absolute sense. In everything that is forbidden, we must leave in entirety. We must leave it in entirety. And this is something that we all share in. Everybody is able to not smoke cigarettes. Everybody is able to not sell alcohol. The strong one, the weak one, the white one, the black one, the tall one, the short one, the old one, the young one, it's all equal. To not sell alcohol, the capability, we all have the same. We all share the same capability in that. To not smoke cigarettes, to not get high, to not take interest, to not give interest. All of this, these are prohibitions. And we all share equally in the ability to do that. So that it's an absolute sense. Everything that's forbidden, we must leave it entirely. As for the commandments, what did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَفْعَلُوا مِنْهُ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whatever I order you to do, then you do it as much as you can. Then you do it as much as you can. A clarification of this has come in the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein, whenever he had bawasir, and he had problems, it's hard for him to sit down. It's hard for him to stand in the light like this. Bawasir, any hemorrhoids, huh? He said that I have bawasir, and I have trouble praying sometimes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is salli qa'iman. فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَفِعْ فَقَعِدًا فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَفِعْ فَأَرَجِمْ. This is the meaning. Do it as much as you can. You must pray. The prayer, you don't say, well, I'm ordered to pray as much as I can, so I'll pray Maghrib. Nah, you got to pray all the prayers. But if you can't perform part of the obligatory actions of the prayers, like the pillars, then you are allowed to do whatever you're able to. So pray while you're standing, but if you're not able to, then pray while you're sitting. And if you're not able to, then pray while you're laying on your side. In any case, you have to pray. So this is the point. A person is ordered to perform the actions according to his ability. So the people of knowledge, they make example of a large stone or a heavy object. If someone were to say, don't touch that stone, then all of us can do that. The old one, the young one, the strong one, the weak one. We can all do that easy. Don't touch the stone. So the one who's strong, he cannot touch it. And the one who's weak, he cannot touch it. It's all equal. So that's why with regards to leaving things, we share in that, and it's an absolute sense. But if we said to them, pick up the stone, and the one who's strong, he can pick it up easy. But the one who's weak, he will not be able to pick it up. So to burden him to pick up something he's not able to, this is not from wisdom nor from mercy. And the legislation is wisdom and mercy.
So therefore, performing the obligations is according to the ability. This is also from the beauty about Islam. This narration here, we could discuss many benefits, but we suffice with the point that this is what the Prophet ﷺ has ordered, and it's easy to follow, and it's sufficient, and it's clear. And he has forbidden us from asking lots of questions. And what is intended here by kathratul masail, yani kathratul asila, alati la fa'ida fiha, yani aw alati la ta'ni al-insan. The questions that have no benefit, or the questions that do not concern a person. Asking questions like, for example, going into minute and meticulous details in the affairs of the unseen, what kind of tree did Adam eat from, for example. If you know, if you don't know, it will not benefit you. What kind of wood was the ship of Noah made from, for example? What kind of fish was that went swimming in the water with Musa alayhi salam, for example? Like this, if you know this, if you don't know this, it's not going to benefit you. There's no ruling based upon that that's going to bring you close to Allah azza wa jal, or any danger that if you don't know it, you're going to fall into haram or hurt yourself and the likes like this. So these questions that was going into minute and meticulous details, we have been forbidden from them. And also asking questions in order to show one's knowledge and the likes like this, or to cause problems and to bring fitna. All of these are forbidden and prohibited. As for asking questions in order to know the ruling, because a person is afraid of being involved in something, or he's about to get involved in something and he knows the ruling, or a calamity befell him, or issue is occurring in his life, he needs to know the legislative ruling with regards to that, then yes, he would ask. And this is not blameworthy, rather it's an obligation. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So not all questions are bad. Rather, some questions are the best of questions and the best means of guidance and benefit for oneself and for others. Rather, sometimes a person, he'll ask a question while he knows the answer, but really he just wants others to benefit from the response and from the answer. Like in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Naam. Ya Muhammad akhbirni an al-Islam. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So he says now, حَفِظُهُ wa lahuma, yani al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Sahr ibn Hunayf radiallahu anhu, annahu qal, ya ayyuha an-nas, ittahimu ra'yakum ala dinikum, laqad ra'aytuni yawma abi jandalin, lo astati'u an arudda amra rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhi laradadtuhu. He said, it's been narrated likewise by the two of them, meaning by al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Sahl ibn Hunayf radiallahu anhu, that he said, O people, and he called into his people to advise them, ittahimu ra'yakum, accuse your own thoughts, your own opinion over your religion. And to accuse yourself before you accuse or find fault with the legislation. Before you read a text and the Quran and the Sunnah that you may not understand the wisdom behind, do not accuse the legislation or the text or find fault with the revelation. Rather, accuse your own mind first before you accuse and find fault with that which is found in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي يَوْمَ أَبِي جَنْدَلْ, because indeed I saw myself on the day of Abi Jandal. لَوْ أَسْتَلْفِي وَنَرُدَّ أَمْرَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ لَرَدَتُ. If I was able to reject or turn back the order of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or turn him back on his order, I would have done it. This is in reference to Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Which was a great treatise that occurred whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is with his companions and they're coming to make Umrah. And the Mushrikun, they stopped them. It was a great issue. And Uthman, he went to Mecca and he was attempting to make some type of consultation and the likes like this. And the rumor came back that he was killed. And also at the same time, there's individuals coming and they're trying to make a truce between the believers and the mushrikun, and the contract had the great conditions that outwardly appeared to be against the believers. Anyone came from Quraysh to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had to send them back. If anyone came from Quraysh, he would have to send them back. And if anyone came from the believers to Quraysh, they don't have to send them back. So on and so forth, and very harsh conditions that many of the companions, they were not ready to agree to. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was ready to agree to. And in reality, in the end, what happened was that Quraysh, these conditions were violated, and Quraysh had requested to invalidate the truce, and it wound up being a great victory for the believers. But initially, it seemed like the believers were taking a loss and backing down in a major way. This is what appeared to many people. And from that is what he's referring to here. And they called it Yom Abi Jandal, because Abu Jandal, he was a believer and he was a captive in Mecca and he was in chains and his father had chained him. And he had fled. He had fled and he had ran. And he ran and he fell in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this time in this treatise, at this time in this treatise, while he's in chains. And he's begging the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take him and for the believers to accept him and to save him. And his father was there and he said, he's the first one that you send back. He's the first one you have to send back. And so they tried to negotiate and he refused. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him back. So it's very hard on the believers that they seen their brother Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu, he's in chains and he was a captive and he's being tortured and persecuted by the pagans, and he's right there at their hands and they can't save him. They can't save him. Rather, they sent him back. So this is what he's referring to. They wanted to reject the order. They wanted to save him. They wanted to fight. They wanted to fight. They didn't want to sign the treaties. Even Umar radiallahu anhu, as much as he was in accordance with many of his opinions with the revelation, in this particular issue here, he was for fighting, and he wanted to continue fighting. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam insisted on taking the covenant and making the treaties, and it wound up being a great victory in the end. This is what he's referring to. He said that you must accuse your own opinion, your own idea. Don't accuse the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I could on that day, I was ready to reject that order. I was ready to reject that order if I could. But in reality, that was the proper order. And that was the best move. And that wound up being a great victory and a means to have the conquest of Mecca. That was a fet, a great conquest and victory before the coming of the conquest of Mecca. That treatise, which seemed to be a great disadvantage for the believers, in reality was from the greatest blessings and mercies that happened for the believers. So this is a great point here that he's making. And with this narration, the chapter is closed. The author, he says, فِيهِ مَسَائِلٍ. In this chapter, there are issues and benefits related to that which has preceded. We take them briefly. And he says, الْأُولَى الْأَمْرُ بِالِسْتِمْسَاكِ بِالْوَحِي. The first one is the command to hold fast to the revelation. فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ عَلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. So he says now, حفظه الله تعالى الثانية, the second benefit, أن القرآن تبيان لكل شيء وهو هدى ورحمة وبشرى للمسلمين. That the Quran is a clarification for all things, and that it is guidance and mercy and a glad tidings for the Muslims. It's guidance and mercy and glad tidings for the Muslims. It's guidance and mercy and glad tidings for those who believe in it and for those who strive to follow it. But those who do not believe in it, it's not guidance, nor is it mercy for them. And those who believe in it, yet they're deficient in applying it properly, then their share of guidance from that is accordingly. Likewise, the mercy that they obtain. The guidance and the mercy of the Quran is obtained by following it diligently, wholeheartedly and truthfully. Wholeheartedly and truthfully, in public and in private. May Allah make us from the people of the Quran. He says, حفظه الله, الثالثة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بيّن ما يحتاج إليه الناس في دينهم بيانا تاما ليستغنوا ببيانه عما عداه. The third benefit is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم clarified that which the people need with regards to their religion, the complete clarification. A complete clarification so that they can suffice with his clarification from everything else. الرابعة أنه تركهم على مثل البيضاء لَيْلُهَا وَنَهَارُهَا السَّوَى. The fourth benefit is that the Prophet وسلم, he left the people upon a clear white path. Its night and day are equal. Any meaning and clarity. الْخَامِسَ أَنَّهُ دَلَّ أُمَّتُهُ عَلَى خَيْرِ مَا عَلِمَهُ لَهُمْ وَأَنْذَرَهُمْ شَرَّ مَا عَلِمَهُ لَهُمْ. And the fifth one is that the Prophet وسلم, he led and clarified for his ummah the good that he knows for them, and he warned them of the evil that he knows for them. And the greatest good that he clarified is the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the greatest evil that he forbade, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is shirk and associating partners with Allah in any manner. Asadisa, the sixth benefit, karahatu takallufi al-mar'i ma la ya'nihi. It's dislike for a person to try to get involved and to overdo things and overexert himself
in affairs that do not concern him. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَى أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. Because indeed the only thing that destroyed those before us was their these meticulous questions all the time, and likewise differing with their prophets. Again, فَلْيَحْذَرْ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. السابعة, the seventh and the last benefit in this chapter, أَنَّهُ لَا يُعْمَرُ فِي أَمْرِ الدِّينِ بِالرَّأْيِ الَّذِي لَا يَسْتَنِدُ إِلَى أَصْلٍ مِنَ الشَّرْعِ. That one will not work by way of one's opinion in the affairs of the religion if that opinion, that reasoning is not based upon a fundamental from the legislation. The ra'i is no end. The ra'i, yani the opinion or the positions and the intellectual reasoning of the mind, is two aspects. One aspect is praiseworthy and the other is blameworthy. What is intended here is the blameworthy one. The one that is praiseworthy is the one that is supported by an authentic text. It's supported by the principles in the religion. And there are affairs maybe that will occur in life that there's not a clear text for. So a person from the people of knowledge who are qualified, they'll strive with the knowledge that they have and the tools that they have from understanding the principles of the religion to derive a ruling. But that ruling will not be derived on hawa or upon desires or upon what opinions and the likes like this. Is derived based upon these principles and evidences in the book of the sunnah. So this is praiseworthy and good in its proper place. As for having an opinion or a position in the affairs of the religion that's not based upon these affairs, these authentic texts and the principles that are clear in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then this one is blameworthy. هَذَا وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَمُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.